Welcome to the Food Matters Live podcast, where we showcase the innovations, the big ideas, and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything we think we know about food. This episode has been made in partnership with Azelis UK Food and Nutrition. Now, there are many challenges facing the food industry at the moment, and those challenges are being faced by all of us. Consumers are concerned with a rising cost of living, overall health and sustainability, and climate change. So how can the food industry address those concerns and support consumers while continuing to feed a growing population? It is a challenge, but as we know, every challenge presents an opportunity, and that's where Azelis come in. With me to explain more are four fantastic guests. Charles Hawley is the company's Managing Director for the UK and Ireland. Hello, Charles.
Hello, Anthony.
Mandy Hobden is Senior Sales Manager at Azelis Food and Nutrition. Hello, Mandy.
Hello.
Joe Yates is Business Manager at Azelis Food and Nutrition UK and Ireland. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
And Ali Coppolella, Market Manager for Azelis Food and Nutrition UK and Ireland. Hello, Ali.
Hello.
Brilliant. Well, listen, it's fantastic to have you all on the podcast. Let's dive into this. And Charles, perhaps we can start with you. And could we start with a brief introduction to Azelis for anyone who doesn't know what you do?
Well, Azelis is one of those huge companies that nobody's ever heard of. Because what we do is we supply raw materials and ingredients, but right at the bottom of the supply chain. So we're supplying speciality ingredients to food and nutrition, but all life science sectors and also into other industrial sectors. But we act as a distributor, so we don't manufacture anything ourselves. We act as an outsourced sales team for our suppliers, who we call principals, and we manage stock, credit risk, regulatory matters, and things like that. So what happens is a large global manufacturer will appoint us as their distributor to sell certain products in certain markets in certain regions. So we end up representing a large number of important suppliers of ingredients into the food and nutrition market, with the largest speciality distributor in the UK and Ireland, and the second largest in the world. That's people not selling commodities. And we deal with everything from small lots, that's splitting pallets down into smaller packages, to full truck deliveries. And we sell thousands of products to thousands of customers. And in food and nutrition in the UK and Ireland, we're selling at the moment, so far this year, over 300 products from over 50 suppliers to over 300 customers.
Fantastic. And how long has Azelis been going for those who don't know?
Well, the original Azelis business started in around about 2000, but the businesses that make up the parts of Azelis, which have been acquired through acquisition, many of them started in the 18th and 19th century.
Oh, wow.
And in fact, Azelis UK is the main part of Azelis UK is an ex-ICI company.
Okay. So a great history there. And thanks for the overview of what you guys are doing now. I'm interested then in the types of people you work with. You don't have to give us any names, but Joe, perhaps you'd like to take this first. What sorts of customers are we talking about here?
Yes, so we reach the food and beverage manufacturers in the UK and Ireland. Quite often, these manufacturers are working on behalf of the retailers and brand owners. So as you probably know, that the retailers that we recognise on the high street don't have their own manufacturing, and they tend to use toll manufacturers.
Okay. And Mandy, do you have any examples of customers you've worked with in the past or any that you're working with now? And perhaps I'm quite interested in this idea of maybe startups the first time you worked with them, they were startups and they were small and have since developed into established companies.
Yeah, a particular customer certainly springs to mind. As a brand owner was working out of a really small office. They started off buying one bag of product. And after our technical team suggested a solution that would give, if you like, an improved product, so to protect the protein within the product, and also visually take the product from what was really quite a grey and an appealing look to an improved white appearance. So we also supported and aligned with a contract manufacturer, which also allowed them, from a sustainability perspective, to move production from Europe to the UK, which again really was another important factor because it's a plant-based product, so carbon footprint was really an important aspect to the brand. And this one small company is now a leading brand in its sector, and we now supply this customer with 5 products from 3 of our principal supply partners. At the start of the journey, we had absolutely no indication of just how big the brand would become. And goes back to our values, really, at Azelis, in treating every customer, whatever the size, with the same professionalism and support.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the different relationships you have with different customers when they're different sizes. You say you treat them the same. I mean, are there differences you find if you're working with a startup to working with a more established company?
In terms of supply chain, no. In terms of the way that we partner and the approach and the attention, if you like, that we give them, that's the same. But in terms of how we service them from an account manager perspective, for smaller to medium companies, it's aligned to postcode. So we'll have an account manager that's based on the geographics, as opposed to a multi-sited blue chip, then that will have a key account manager.
Sure. Okay, brilliant. Now, we're always interested in trends on this podcast, and we make trends podcast specifically. But Ali, I wonder if you could talk to us a bit about some of the key trends that you're noticing in the food sector at the moment.
So I think, as we've sort of touched on, we work in collaboration with different organisations, working in close partnership with our principal manufacturers, customers as well, and organisations such as Food Matters Live and Mintel. And when we're working this year with Food Matters Live, we're going to be focusing on some of the key trends in the UK and also demonstrating solutions. This year, we're focusing on permissible indulgence and helping to improve HFSS scoring on beverage and bakery innovation, on sports nutrition and well-being, and in that area with a key focus on healthy ageing. And we're also going to have a deep dive into cost reduction initiatives, which is something we've been working closely with our customers on for a while now. In this arena, we have a lot of solutions to offer. So generally, we're quite dynamic and forward thinking. We work hard to be. We work with customers' needs, trying to adopt a collaborative approach, and being consultative with their needs and working on their projects. So it is sometimes going on a journey with them to address their problems and challenges, and it's really rewarding as well to unearth solutions for them and help them along the way.
Yeah, I should imagine. And Joe, do we see variations globally with these trends? Are there different trends emerging in different parts of the world?
Tastes could vary in different countries, but generally speaking, things like HFSS are important in all countries. We work very closely with our colleagues in other countries, and very often the same demands driven by the savvy consumers are coming through. In addition to that, legislation in the countries. Legislation is very important within the food and beverage industry. We are seeing very, very similar trends, and it allows us to work together with our colleagues in other countries and push the same message, the same solutions.
And I suppose there's a difference, isn't there, between recognising a trend and then actually managing to tap into that. So Ali, how do you help your customers to do that?
Yeah, so trends can be proactive, announcing the flavour of the year, for instance, gets everybody looking along the lines of, of that flavour of the year. But they can be reactive too, as we saw following the pandemic, with everyone focusing on immunity and gut health links to immunity too. We don't set the trends necessarily, but we are constantly monitoring them, looking at the marketplace to understand the dynamics and how it's relevant to our customers, and we communicate the trends to them. Obviously carrying out lab work to create new formulations in line with those trends to help customers jump on them if they choose to.
Okay, Mandy, let's dive a bit deeper, if we can, into new product development. So it's been mentioned already, and I'm interested in this idea of going on a journey with your customers and to sort of discover new challenges and then find the solutions needed. So can you talk us through an example of that where that's happened in the past and it sticks in your mind?
It was summer of 2018. We sampled Stevia, one of our products, following an introductory meeting. This followed on from a website request where a sample was required. So the Azalis account manager and technical development manager went along, did a capabilities presentation. And along the way, we used a consultative approach of fully understanding the needs of our customer. And I think it's fair to say that, metaphorically speaking, they actually held their customer's hand through the journey because they were very new to the sector and really at this stage just had an online presence. And what started off from an inquiry and project on replacing their sweetener with a natural clean alternative snowballed to us being the key arm in their NPD pipeline and ending up supplying a basket of different flavours, two types of stevia and clean label starches and fibres. And we're really proud because, you know, we were part of that journey and they're now possibly the biggest brand in their sector and at every possible distribution point. So from retail to vending, and they also have a really strong and powerful TV and social media presence. So, yeah, and we're really pleased because we continue to work with them. But this time it's for a legislation driven project.
And from a personal point of view, I mean, that must be a really satisfying element to the work you guys do.
It really was truly satisfying for the whole team. So from the account manager and the technical manager that were involved from that first meeting through to the wider technical team. But beyond that, you know, the response and the efficiency of our quality team and our supply chain team from placing, processing the orders and delivering of the orders. It was that whole efficient and holistic approach that gives us and continues to give us those established and evolving relationships with this customer and our other customers, which is in primary importance for ourselves and our supply partners.
Fantastic. So Ali, look, I'm sure, you know, when it comes to NPD, each product is individual and has its own challenges and opportunities. But do you have any general advice? Are there key things people should be thinking about?
Yeah, I think it's very much about getting the balance right. You know, the balance between that, you know, meeting the trend, but the balance also between performance, nutrition, and flavour. So performance of the product through its shelf life, the nutritional profile, and ultimately the flavour. Because when end product manufacturers are developing something new that they want to launch, they should always consider getting this balance of those three elements right, which will lead to a successful product launch. Because if you can do that right, you're providing the consumer with health, pleasure, and convenience as well. And, you know, we've got specialist knowledge focusing on the ingredients for performance, nutrition, and flavour in terms of our principal managers and as well as our principal partners, you know, that we support our customers, the account managers of our customers on their projects.
Fantastic. And so you have experts in each of those fields. So presumably any of the customers that work with you have access to this wide array of expertise.
Yeah. So as we mentioned, we're representing the manufacturers globally that have their expertise in developing the products. And aligned to them is a principal manager that's very technical based. So they have deep expertise in the products that they're representing. We also have their technical team, which has many, many years of experience with these products. And all that support is then lent to the customer's account manager and ultimately the customer.
Okay. So, Joe, all this expertise, all these insights, on the face of it, this might sound like cost added for potential customers of yours, particularly if budgets are tight. Would it not make sense to just purchase direct from the manufacturer?
No, not really. On the contrary, being the assigned route to market for the global manufacturers that we represent, we can have stock holding locally. We've mentioned the technical resources, our technical centre for the customers, regulatory support, And each, I think Mandy touched on it earlier, each customer has an assigned account manager who's responsible for understanding the customer's needs and aligning the customer with the right person within our business. And these are free resources that we offer.
Okay. Could we talk a bit about vendor reduction? And I don't know, Joe or Charles may want to take this. I'm interested in the idea and how it works in practice.
Well, I think Joe just referred earlier to the sort of taking the complexity out of the supply chain for the customer. And by offering a sort of one-stop shop service, we can certainly simplify the journey across the supply chain. There are synergies across our supplier portfolios, and you know, in having a trusted partner, the customer can really relax about the continued supply of critical ingredients. And what increasingly customers will do is actually delegate the managing of the supply chain to an organization like ourselves. You know, they don't want umpteen suppliers for little bits and bobs, and we can handle anything: the size, the frequency of delivery, the types of goods transfer, and that's really the way that it works. And so vendor reduction is as much a sort of response to our customers wanting that service as it is to us wanting to supply it.
Fantastic. Joe, did you want to add anything on that?
It's becoming more and more popular for some of our big key customers. They are looking at perhaps tail end products that they supply. They're dealing with 50 plus suppliers for those. And to bring that under one roof and to deal with one supplier, it's got so many benefits. The practical benefits of not having so many deliveries on a weekly basis, bringing it all in one truck on a weekly basis. It really does make sense for them and takes a lot of noise out of their supply chain.
Ali, so I mean, really, we have just touched the surface of the work that Azalis does. But are there other key areas of focus that we haven't really managed to fully get into in this episode?
Yeah, like you say, we just, you know, scratched the surface of the three sort of main areas that we work on, which is performance, nutrition and flavour. You know, we could talk for hours on it, so we won't get into too much on it this morning. But, you know, in terms of performance, it's about the structure, texture and appearance and managing the look and feel of a product through its shelf life. If you can give a longer shelf life, then you're giving better value for the consumer. Working with those type of ingredients that support performance, yes, some of them have e-numbers, but there are also a lot of clean label alternatives that are just as functional. So we're often working on projects with customers on for those type of ingredients. And there's also the nutritional improvements that these type of ingredients bring, because working on HFSS topic, projects, you wouldn't be able to achieve fat and sugar reduction or replacement without performance ingredients, because they maintain the appearance, texture and shelf life of a product when sugar or salt is tackled, and maintain the mouthfeel and eating characteristics when fat and sugar is taken out as well. And then, you know, let's not forget flavour. As we're working on more nutrition and HFSS, plant-based, you know, that itself brings a lot of sensory challenges. We mentioned that we have the lab here, you know, with a very experienced team in there. You know, the work that we do in terms of masking and improving flavour in those type of products, it's challenging, you know, because first of all, we have to taste the product unmasked, which isn't great. But then, you know, then we're working, we've developed a toolkit of masking flavours that are then applied to see which is the best option for those, you know, and then adding some interesting on-trend sort of top notes on it. So it's always very interesting. There's a lot of work to be done in terms of nutritional profile, you know, because we have a Western diet, we have a growing obesity crisis. We can't affect the level of activity of the population, but we can help manufacturers to improve the nutritional profile and therefore the health impact of the product they're given to the consumer.
Yeah. And you mentioned flavour. I mean, it's so important, isn't it? I mean, it's we hear it time and again on the podcast that
you know, you can develop products that, that meet certain criteria, but if people don't like the flavour of it, they're not going to buy it, and then I guess it doesn't work anyway.
Well, they'll buy it once, but they won't necessarily buy it again. So in order to really build the brand, build repeat purchase, then flavour is so important. And also the building blocks of flavour, which, you know, don't necessarily get considered, but they're really important. And Joe touched on earlier on sort of cost reduction, but some of the ingredients that we would regard as building blocks, you know, where you can take cost out by take cost out of the manufacturing process by purchasing flavouring ingredients that already have a sautéed or a fried note, rather than having to carry out those processes during production as well. So lots to offer in terms of ingredients for nutritional improvement and cost saving as well.
If I could add something there as well, sorry, it's on the more boring side, but it's something I'm very passionate about. You know, what Azalis also is able to offer is that supply chain integrity. You know, we're all over the regulatory issues, as Joe mentioned earlier. We've got a fantastic quality management system. You know, we've got we've sort of, you know, local account management for local requirements. It's all very much about doing what's right in the in that supply chain, and so it's people don't find it very sexy, but actually it's absolutely super critical, especially in food and nutrition.
Yeah, definitely. And sometimes, it, like you say, yeah, okay, it might not be like the sexiest thing, but actually, when you're dealing with customers, they want that reliability, don't they? And they want to know that's there, and that's probably really important to them, actually, and maybe it is quite sexy because it's so important to them.
Yeah, well, I, as I say, I think you know, what we try and do, the sort of back office people like me, is try and make sure that the people like Ali and Mandy and Joe can sell and present all of the positive things to the customers, and that we just make sure that everything else is properly accounted for.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, well, Charles, let's stick with you if that's okay. So looking to the future, and we will come on to a few more trends in a moment, but how do you make sure that you're keeping on top of the latest trends? What work is being done behind the scenes?
Well, you know, from what I would say, it's about having quite a large team of people working in the specialist food and nutrition market in the UK and Ireland. We're close to the market. We've got the technical and the speciality ingredients, and we're leading with the support of our suppliers, as well as reacting to trends, as was discussed earlier. We're flexible, we're responsive, and we're you know, it's a specialist niche that we operate in. It's a very small part of that supply chain, but we're really all over it.
If I can build on that, Anthony, if I may, we have a very collaborative approach, as we mentioned earlier, and for me, it's about keeping our ears and eyes open. You know, as Charles said, we have a big team. They're connected with the customers. We collaborate with people such as Mintel, our principals, our colleagues in other countries, and we keep up to date with really what's going on. And also, you know, it's about feeding that into our business effectively, capturing it. We have a very sophisticated CRM system, and we're able to be quite dynamic with that behaviour.
Fabulous. Okay. Let's end on some more trends and insights then. And I'm particularly looking to the future. You know, what should we be looking out for? What are the interesting areas that you think are on the horizon?
A lot of it's going to be driven by the consumer. Consumers are much more understanding of what they're eating. They're very much more label aware. Health is incredibly important to all of us. And really understanding what goes into food, you know, what's good, what's high in fat, what's high in salt and high in sugar, those things are never going to go away. But we mentioned earlier making food taste good. That's incredibly important. Taste good, look good. So we always need to be on the front foot here, understanding that the products that we're contributing to really are meeting that the consumer needs.
Well, listen, like I say, we've only really touched the surface. Azalis are going to be at the Food Matters Live Taste of Better event in Ascot. So if people want to sign up for that event, they can come over and say hello. We're really looking forward to having you there. Aside from Taste of Better, which is available on our website, do you want to give a little plug for how people can get in touch if they're interested in working with you?
The account managers will be talking to their customers to let them know what we're working on. We mentioned the five areas that we're going to be focusing on during the Taste of Better event. There's also our customer portal, which is growing in popularity to our customers. So that's just log on to explore.azalis.com, and there's lots of interesting articles and solutions there, and we'll start putting some content to support our Food Matters Live event this year as well. So they'll be able to get an insight, a little bit more of an insight into what we're working on there.
Fantastic. Well, brilliant. Well, Joe, Mandy, Charles and Ali, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. We'll continue to point people towards Taste of Better and towards your website to get in touch. But thank you for giving up your time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.